Chapter 8. Smike and Madeline in Danger. When Mr. Squeers learned that Smike had run away again, he was very angry.
"I'll find him," he shouted, jumping up and down. "I'll get him back. I won't leave London without him. But I need some help. I'll speak to Ralph Nickleby."
Mr. Snawley was happy for Mr. Squeers to stay at his house for a few more days. They both went to visit Ralph Nickleby, and the three men made a clever plan. Mr. and Mrs. Browdy went to visit the Nicklebys in the cottage in Bow. Everyone was happy because Smike was home again, and there was much laughter as they ate their dinner. At the end of the evening, when the Browdies were putting on their coats, there was a loud knock on the door. "It's 11 o'clock," said Nicholas. "Who has come to visit us at 11 o'clock?" He opened the door, and Ralph Nickleby walked in. Nicholas stood up to face him. Kate held Nicholas by his arm, and Smike hid behind them. John Browdy went to stand between Ralph and Nicholas.
"Listen to what I have to say," said Ralph.
"Be careful," said John. "Don't make any trouble." "You must be John Browdy from Yorkshire," Ralph said.
Then he saw Smike and pointed to him.
"And this must be Smike. I've heard a lot about him."
Then Nicholas cried, "Don't talk to this man, John. He is wicked, and I will not have him in my house."
"Wait, Nicholas," said John.
He looked through the open door and saw Mr. Squeers and Mr. Snawley outside.
"We have two more visitors. Come in, come in. Don't hide outside."
Then Mr. Squeers and Mr. Snawley came in and stood next to Ralph. Ralph smiled wickedly.
"We have come to give a boy back to his father."
He pointed to Mr. Snawley.
"This is Smike's father. He is a friend of mine, and he wants his son to go back to do the boy's hall."
No one spoke. Then Mr. Snawley put his arm round Smike's thin shoulders and said,
"My son, at last, I have you back."
Nicholas looked at the three visitors. He didn't know what to say. Then Smike moved away from Mr. Snawley and ran to Nicholas.
"Please, don't let them take me. I want to stay with you," he cried.
"Look at him," cried Nicholas. "If you are this boy's father, and I'm not sure that you are, you should be very angry with yourself. You can't send him back to that terrible school." Mr. Squeers began to speak.
"If you mean do the boy's hall..."
But he was stopped by Ralph.
"Let me tell you the facts," said Ralph. "Mr. Snawley and his wife had a son called Smike. They were not happy together, so they lived apart. Some time later, Mrs. Snawley told her husband that the boy was dead. Mrs. Snawley became very ill, and just before she died, she wrote to Mr. Snawley. She said that the boy was really alive and was living at Do the Boys' Hall. Look, I have the letter here."
Ralph gave the letter to Nicholas and John. They read it slowly. Nicholas looked furious.
"It can't be true," whispered Kate.
"I think it is true," said Nicholas sadly. Then Smike cried,
"I will not go. I will not leave you. This is my home and this is my family."
Mr. Squeers took Smike's arms and tried to pull him away. But Nicholas pushed the schoolmaster out of the door and shouted,
"Uncle Ralph and Mr. Snawley, you can leave my house at once."
"But I want my son," said Mr. Snawley.
"Ask Smike to choose," replied Nicholas. "If he wants to go with you, he is free to leave. If he wants to stay here with us, we will be pleased to have him."
Mr. Snawley looked at Smike.
"Come home with me, you silly boy," he said.
"No,"
cried Smike. He held Nicholas's arm tightly.
I will not!
At last, Mr. Snawley realised that Smike was not going to leave with him. He turned and left the room. Uncle Ralph shook his fist at Smike and followed Mr. Snawley with Mr. Squeers. Nicholas closed the door behind them. The Nicklebys and their friends were alone again. A few days later, Ralph Nickleby was walking through London when it began to rain. He stood under a tree and waited for the rain to stop. Then he heard a voice.
Mr. Nickleby, do you remember me?
Ralph turned quickly and saw a bent old man with a stick.
I remember you, Mr. Brooker. You worked for me in my office some time ago, Ralph said.
Look at me now. I'm hungry and sick, the old man said.
What do you want from me? Shouted Ralph.
Please give me a little money so I can buy some bread, the old man said. I have been looking for you for 2 days.
Then you have wasted your time, Mr. Brooker. If you want money, go and earn it as I do, shouted Ralph.
But I can't find any work, the old man explained. The problem is that I'm old and sick, and I have been in prison for 8 years. No one will give me a job.
I can't help you. Now please go away, Ralph replied angrily.
Mr. Brooker looked at Ralph.
You are not a kind man, Mr. Nickleby, he said. You were cruel when I worked for you, and you are even crueler now. But I know a secret about you. If I tell you, what will you give me?
Mr. Brooker asked.
I'm not interested in your silly false stories. Now go away, Ralph shouted.
But the old man did not want to leave.
The secret is about you and another Nickleby, he said.
If you mean Nicholas, I don't want to hear it. You can't trick me, Ralph shouted furiously.
Mr. Brooker then watched Ralph turn and walk away. The old man shook with cold. When he arrived back in his office, Ralph had a visitor. His visitor, Mr. Gride, was an old moneylender. He had a sharp nose and a wicked face.
What can I do for you, Mr. Gride? Said Ralph. Be quick, I'm very busy.
So Mr. Gride sat forward in his chair.
I want to get married, Mr. Nickleby, he said.
Married? Asked Ralph. Have you found a rich old woman, then?
No,
replied Mr. Gride. He rubbed his hands.
The lady is not old, she's young, and she's extremely beautiful, too.
This is surprising news, replied Ralph. Who is this lucky girl?
Mr. Gride stood up and closed the door.
I don't want your assistant, Newman Noggs, to hear my plans, he said.
Then he sat down again.
Tell me who you are marrying, Ralph said.
Her name is Madeline,
said the old man proudly.
Madeline Bray. You know her father, I think. We have both done business with old Mr. Bray.
Ralph looked at Mr. Gride with interest.
So Bray has got a beautiful daughter, has he? That man owes me £900, he said.
He owes me £1,700, replied Mr. Gride. And this is my plan. I will forget his debt if her father will agree to our marriage. Madeline will be very pleased that her father has no more debts. She will be happy to marry me. He is a difficult old man, but she loves him. So I need someone to talk to her father for me, and I thought of you. Will you help me?
Asked Mr. Gride. Ralph thought for a moment. Then he said,
"Why should I help you? What will I get from it?"
"You will get money, Mr. Nickleby. I will pay you half of what Bray owes you," Mr. Gride said.
"If I agree to speak to Madeline's father, I want all of the money he owes me," said Ralph. "And I want £500 more, too. You will pay me on your wedding day."
Then Ralph looked at Mr. Gride and waited for his reply.
"You are asking for a lot of money," the moneylender said. "Will you take a little less?"
"No, I want the full amount," Ralph replied. "And I want you to write our agreement down and sign it."
So Mr. Gride signed the agreement, and the two men set off for Mr. Bray's house. Ralph and Mr. Gride did not know it, but Newman Noggs had not been working at his desk. He had been hiding in a cupboard in Ralph's room, so he had heard everything the two men had said.